Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
Yeah, it started off as a mainly north and west of Milwaukee kind of snow thing, but in talking to Niz about 25 minutes ago, he said, no, it's more of a southeastern Wisconsin thing, but mainly in the morning. Don't expect roads to be impassable, but expect 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow. Starting in the morning, that'll be the heaviest, and then should taper off throughout the day.
And how about that after hitting a record overnight? Milwaukee hit a record high temperature just past midnight. We reached 59 degrees, and now we'll have snow. That's Wisconsin winter for you, though.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, protests in Minneapolis are taking place again today and across the country after the death of 37-year-old Renee Good. There's another protest here in Milwaukee at Cathedral Square tonight. An ICE agent shot and killed Good on Wednesday. Homeland Security officials and the Trump administration say the ICE agent was acting in self-defense. But video from the incident, as well as assessments from Minnesota officials, dispute that claim. An investigation into the incident is still in the early stages, and federal authorities have banned state and city authorities from accessing any evidence. Now the Hennepin County attorney is appealing to the public, basically asking for anything that people have, including videos that could help them in their own investigation.
We do not yet know if there will be sufficient evidence without the FBI case file to even make a charging decision. The FBI currently has, for example, Ms. Good's car, the shell casing, and witness interviews. The FBI has taken the car, and so any forensic analysis that comes from that would not be available to us unless they were sharing that.
The Hennepin County Attorney's Office has a secure website for people to submit that evidence.
Well, the Miami Dolphins are finalizing a deal to hire Packers VP of Player Personnel John Eric Sullivan as their general manager. He's been with the Packers since 2003 as an intern, then hired full-time in 2004, served a variety of different roles. Sullivan has worked most closely with Packers GM Brian Gutekunst since 2022. First major move, they got to find a head coach in Miami once the GM is hired. This could be interesting. Mike McDaniel fired on Thursday after a second consecutive losing season. Expect to hear Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley in the short-term list here for Sullivan in Miami.
Hearing my name out there, that's obviously extremely flattering and very humbling.
That's Hafley from earlier this week. He's also drawing interest from Tennessee and Atlanta. So could have a couple of former members or current members of the Packers exploring an opportunity in sunny Miami here next season.
It does make you wonder. And speaking of Mike McDaniel, like, where is he going to go? With him and his rolled up capris and the funny faces he makes at the press conferences, like, he's such a unique
No doubt.
Coach.
He is a hipster head coach in the NFL, that is for sure. He's a very gifted offensive mind, so I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being an offensive coordinator somewhere, run game coordinator, something like that. He'll stay in the NFL. He's just too good.
Yeah.
But not everybody who succeeds at that coordinator level ends up having a successful run at head coach. Sometimes their first head coaching opportunity comes in a situation where you don't have a great quarterback, you got losing seasons, maybe the ownership is bad, culture is bad. Boy, it's really tough. Finding stable organizations in the NFL is harder than you might imagine.
Well, and think about all the pro sports. I mean, you could have a great coach, you can even have a great season, and sometimes they still get the boot.
That's true.
It's wild.
That is definitely true. It is 2:13 on WTMJ. Well, crazy story here involving NASA. Mission to the International Space Station may end early and abruptly due to a health issue involving one of the 7 astronauts aboard the station. It's the first spacewalk of the year, and it may be coming to an abrupt halt. ABC's Jim Ryan covering the story in Texas. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, good morning, Reagan. In fact, NASA confirms that this mission will be ending early. Crew 11 traveled to the International Space Station on August 1st. They were supposed to be up there doing all sorts of work, missions, and an EVA, at least one EVA, extravehicular activity, or a spacewalk. Well, yesterday, at the appointed time that spacewalk was to begin, NASA said, no, it's not going to happen. One of the 4 members of Crew 11 is apparently sick. NASA hasn't been specific. They say that out of the interests of the privacy of the astronauts, they won't say what the illness is, what the medical issue is, or which astronaut is involved. But suffice it to say, the four members of that crew are coming back early.
Jim, I feel like I've never heard something like this. How common are in-flight medical issues on long-duration space missions?
It's never happened. They've never had to have a, quote, medical evacuation. That's what they're calling this. I mean, it sounds pretty darn serious. But at the same time, Jessica, you know, you've got people who, well, frankly, vomit. They get sick from air sickness or from motion sickness aboard the International Space Station. That happens occasionally. But in this case, it appears that the person may have, you know, some infection or maybe a flu. Who knows what it is exactly? But and the astronauts are quarantined before their liftoff. So apparently something slipped through. And now we know that the four members of this crew are going to have to come back.
So you mentioned, you know, they may throw up from time to time. It got me thinking, mm-hmm. like, what types of illnesses can they deal with in space? Say, it's okay if the astronauts get this, but if this happens, we got to bring them back. It's just, it's such a mystery due to these privacy concerns.
Yeah, it is. Yes. And we might never know. I doubt this is the case, but we might never know which astronaut involved and what the particular medical emergency was. HIPAA appears to apply in space as well. But picture going on a family trip. You're in your minivan and you have a little first aid kit in the back, but you're rolling along and one of the kids gets sick. What can you handle in that instance? Can you handle the kid throwing up? Probably. Maybe you have something. I know when my little brother would constantly get sick in the car, my parents had the contingency for that. Or say somebody scrapes a finger or something, or there is some minor cut. Well, they may have a medical kit to deal with that. So, but beyond that, yeah, what about something more serious? Well, they can't handle it. They don't have the expertise, the equipment to handle it aboard the ISS, so they've got to bring them back.
Hey, Jim, what lengths does NASA go to prevent these things from happening? I mean, this is a historic event. There's been hundreds and hundreds of trips to the moon going back to the 50s. Has a crew ever been cut short in their mission?
This may be a first. And yeah, they take all sorts of precautions to ensure that nobody is sick on board, you know, or carry something up to the space station. It's a very tight, enclosed space. So if one person gets sick with something communicable, it's likely to be passed from one to another, and this could go on for some time. Of the seven crew members, now four will be coming back. Three will still be there. Two Russians and an American who will still be staffing the International Space Station. You remember last year, Greg, when two astronauts were essentially stuck there waiting for a ride because they had to come back? That's not going to happen this time. There is a Crew Dragon, a SpaceX Crew Dragon, that's docked to the International Space Station. So back to our minivan analogy, you've got a vehicle parked in the garage so the family can just change out their clothes, slip into the garage, climb into the car, and fly away. That's kind of a lot of checklists and a lot of procedures to go, but that's essentially what will happen this time. There won't be a long wait for another mission to come up and get them.
Does this impact future missions at all? Experiments, maintenance, or, you know, that spacewalk that's not happening? Or is it okay because you still have a couple people who are going to be up there?
Well, you're right. There are still three crew members there. And at this point, at least, NASA says this doesn't change the launch schedule for the next mission, Crew 12. That window opens on February 15th. And assuming everything is good to go, the weather's fine, and everything technically is fine, they'll lift off on that date. But yeah, there are no changes in plans for future launches because of this medical issue.
I don't know about you, Jim. When I'm sick, I like to be near my home base. I like to be near my home, my bed, right? My own comforts. I think an airplane would be among the worst places to be. You might as well quadruple that feeling when you're talking about maybe being in space a zillion miles away from home.
Well, yeah, or at least 250 miles above the nearest hospital or nearest doctor's office or your own bed. So, yeah, it's. But I think that also is something that NASA prepares for, the extensive training that these astronauts go through to prepare them for essentially being stuck there for some time. And, that'll be part of what we learn from this whole situation. How well did the astronauts handle having a sick crew member?
A medical situation forcing NASA to end its mission at the space station about a month early.
Yeah, hope this astronaut's okay. Thanks so much, Jim.
All right. See you guys.
Legal action against the country's biggest retailer and a top soda company.
Walmart and PepsiCo have been accused in a federal lawsuit of a decade-long price-fixing scheme that allegedly involved raising the price of Pepsi products at stores other than Walmart. The proposed class-action lawsuit says the two companies have had a long-term agreement that gives Walmart preferential pricing on Pepsi products.
The lawsuit claims the two companies broke antitrust laws, including the 1890 Sherman Antitrust Act. That law seeks to stop companies from becoming monopolies and bans secret restrictions on competition and state antitrust laws.
It's interesting because it's Walmart, so you expect things to be a little bit cheaper there than,
go
to Target or a different spot. But I wonder at what point you look at it and say, whoa, this is way cheaper than I'm used to seeing. I've seen this somewhere else, and it was like a dollar more. I don't know if that would register in the minds of consumers. If you're a Walmart shopper, that's typically your spot. You do your groceries, anything else, and you expect it to be less expensive, and maybe that's the reason you go.
Well, this is true. I've really cut down on soda altogether for the most part, but for years, Pepsi or Coke, I most always exclusively went Pepsi. I don't mind Coke, but I was always a Pepsi woman, but I never really go to Walmart. So all those years, if this is true, I could have been saving some money.
I wonder how many other brands would fall into that. I mean, Pepsi is a major brand, right? And a
huge
monster line of different things, including Quaker Oats and Doritos. Like, that all falls under Pepsi. And Mountain Dew and Gatorade, that's all part of Pepsi.
Oh, Aquafina don't get me going is part on Mountain of Pepsi.
Dew. Right? I mean, just there are so many brands within their portfolio. I wonder how deeply it extended beyond just, what you might have to drink.
You know how much Mountain Dew I used to drink?
That was your
terrible.
Jam. That surprises
that
me so much about you.
I know. Isn't that weird? I think it surprises a lot of people. Just you wouldn't expect me to have it, but every morning before the morning show, I would have one, which I know sounds gross. And it wasn't about even the caffeine for me, even though the show was starting at 4:30 in the morning. It was the zing. I just liked the crispness of it in the morning and the zing of it. And I tried to get away from it. I tried so many other things, and I just couldn't find something to replace it. During the pandemic, I finally kicked it to the curb. I think I've probably only had 4 Mountain Dews in the last 5 years.
Okay. All right. Well, that's quite the cutback after the daily habit.
I do. I feel like it's quite the accomplishment. Thank
well
you,
Well done. It is 2:27 on WTMJ, Wisconsin's Midday News Podcast, built by Siding Unlimited, Truly Siding, and a whole lot more. Lots to get to here in the final half hour of the program, including the Week in Review and some stories from Off the Beaten Path. An ICE-involved shooting, Bucks president steps down, and the green and gold head to Chicago. All that and more. It's the Week in Review, and it's brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Oh, yeah. Well, that video of helicopters flying over the night sky in Caracas.
Nicolas Maduro was indicted. He is a fugitive of American justice with a $50 million reward, which I guess we saved $50 million.
Nobody deserves it but us.
Snap, good hold, and the Packers are going to get on the board. 16-3, your final.
It don't matter. None of this matters.
I think we did the right thing today.
The party has started because the Falcons are headed back to River Falls as national champions.
Milwaukee Bucks president Peter Fagan transitioning away from his role with the team.
Fagan will be replaced by Josh Glessing. Fagan joined the Bucks in 2014 and did not provide a reason for his departure in a team statement.
It has been announced that Styx will be performing at Summerfest June 19th.
U.S. Olympic speed skating trials wrapped up Monday at the Pettit National Ice Center.
What's remarkable about watching Jordan goes down off the start.
Jordan Stoltz fell. We were watching live. In fact, I saw you on TV. You look great watching that race live.
And what?
The Badger State has a film office again and just launched a $5 million tax incentive program to attract more productions to the state.
I think it's a beautiful state, and we're pretty underrepresented on the screen. So I think Hollywood's always looking for new stuff, I say. Come to Wisconsin, see what we got.
The CDC now recommending children only get vaccines for 11 things instead of 17.
I think it's a troubling recommendation. The flu vaccine, the COVID vaccine, and the rotavirus vaccines now only can be administered in consultation with a healthcare provider.
Harbaugh's a good coach by all means, but I'm going to take the younger guy who still has a very proven track record. He hasn't won a Super Bowl since 2011.
Still won one.
Sure.
Super Bowls are a rare thing. There's only been, 69 of them?
59.
Nice.
59 of them.
You did that on purpose.
A woman is dead after ICE officers reportedly shot her while conducting an immigration enforcement operation. It's happened in Minneapolis.
The ICE officer, fearing for his life and the other officers around him and the safety of the public, fired defensive shots.
To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis.
Again, gets his own rebound, gets the bend goal. He stuffs it. Oh, it finished perfectly.
Don't ask me how. Marquette up a point.
How often do you need to communicate with your dog?
Call me twice. That's it. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Eric, why are you talking that way?
Who's a good boy? Who's the best boy ever? Hello.
Okay, we would all be better off if instead of talking about systems, what do kids need? What does an individual student need to be educated well? We are like one of one. We get a different color on the 50-state map because it's
great. The Sherman Park grocery store facing a potential closure after a decline in customers and damage. They're having a really hard time.
It is located in an area where 80% of their customers got SNAP benefits. So when those SNAP benefits and that federal dollars were paused, people didn't have access to go get food and they were going to food banks.
Two people were shot by federal agents in Portland, Oregon Thursday.
Now the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is saying that it involved members of TDA, of the Venezuelan gang.
Owner Jerry Rasmussen might be a Packers fan, but he's never turned a Bears fan away.
You know, what shirt color you wear, as long as you bring the green stuff.
Yeah.
What a week, eh?
What a week.
Daddy AF.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It is the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Text the word WEEK to the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. That's 855-616-1620 if you want to give it another spin.
It's Friday, which means it's time for Stories of the Strange on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Well, let me paint the picture for you here, right? You got that gooey cheese. You're pulling apart that piece of pizza, the crisp pepperoni.
Ooh, that
right?
Sounds good.
It does, doesn't it? And maybe a little bit of ranch to dip the crust in. I can get down with that. I don't mind that. That sound good to you?
Sounds lovely. And actually, I was thinking about making a homemade pizza tonight.
Well, it might be great for dinner, but not so much in candle form. Bath and Body Works Pizza and Ranch Candle.
Oh, I saw that. Gross.
They revealed this and unveiled it to the world on annual Candle Day in December. Limited time, only available through the website. At least it was. It is no longer on the website. Notes of gooey cheese, crisp pepperonis, and ranch received very mixed reviews online. And by that, I mean overwhelmingly negative reviews online. Reactions from customers.
We need to read some
on
of those
social media.
On
well, there's most can be read on the air, but certainly not all of them. One individual described it as if you took a Little Caesar's pizza, stuffed it in a diaper genie for 2.5 weeks, and then opened the top of the diaper genie.
Oh.
Well, therein lie. If anybody knows what a diaper genie is,
yes. That's
just like...
Gives you another visual.
Yes. I mean, that was not the fun part of having children who wore diapers. Oh, that was a challenging part. But apparently the candle smelt a little bit like that when it was burning. So, yes, crisp pepperoni, gooey cheese, a little bit of ranch to dip it in. That sounds great for dinner. You just don't want it in candle form in your living room.
What's your favorite scent for a candle? Do you have one?
So I've started to lean toward this like teak wood and tobacco kind of scents.
Oh,
and like,
interesting.
Yeah, they're
tobacco,
I guess a little more
really.
Masculine scent, but they're...
Definitely.
Especially this time of year. I'm kind of a seasonal candle person, but I like that tobacco kind of bourbon-y sort of smell. That's good.
Interesting. Because tobacco makes me feel like, I mean, I know smoky, but I just think smoke. I don't want to have that
well,
smell.
It's different. So this is like, you know, Grandpa's pipe when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Grandpa always had a pipe and he always stuffed it with some kind of cherry tobacco. And it had a very distinct
scent. Did he wear
scent.
A hat too?
He kind of did, actually. Usually had a Pabst next to him as well. So
nice.
It's a very pleasing scent, despite all the negative health effects and whatnot. But yes, that scent is something familiar.
Your grandpa had a Pabst. My grandpa had a Schlitz.
Yeah.
He always called them Frosties. He'd put them in the freezer, and he'd be like, it's time for a Frosty. Go up and get one and pop that top.
Frosty mug for it?
No, it was in the freezer, so it'd get real cold.
The actual Schlitz? Yeah, yeah, wow. There you go.
The Schlitz in the freezer.
Next level.
Called it a Frosty. I like it. Well, that was weird. Mine's strange, but ends on a happy note, at least for one involved. A wayward sheep that was roaming around Lake Michigan in Wisconsin here for months, finally caught this week. The woolly wanderer had been on the loose for at least 3 months before its capture. So people in Ozaukee County, they were spotting this sheep for weeks as it was kind of wandering through neighborhoods and on some rural roads. Well, the escapade first gained attention when the pair of sheep were seen in Mequon. There were daily sightings. People were even calling authorities like, hey, I see him. Well, sightings of the sheep spread north over time, with the animal spotted near Grafton and in Port Washington. So, you know, wasn't just Mequon. It was like, I'm going to go check out these burbs over here. Well, at times, volunteers and neighbors even turned into amateur sheep herders trying to lure them to safety. One of the two original sheep, this is the part where it's a little sad, was found dead in a wooded area before the capture. Oh. But there's a surviving sheep, and that one was caught by a Germantown farm owner and her daughter, who used one of their sheep, like a friendly sheep from the farm, and some treats, of course, to help secure the animal. After its capture, the sheep was taken to Sunnyview Farm in Germantown, where it will now live with the other animals. So it ends on a nice note.
Well, it does, and it proves that it was real. It's not like a Milwaukee lion thing. This lion's been walking around Milwaukee for like
a month.
Remember
that?
Yeah, there was no lion. Let me just make this very clear. There was never a lion.
But that wasn't just like this wacky story. I mean, they brought in...
I know, it was ridiculous.
To try to trap this thing.
Yeah, there was never a lion.
I always laugh because there's a lion house down on the east side of Milwaukee. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful home. It has two lions outside. I'm pretty sure back in the day I took a picture of that and was like, I spotted the lion. I found the lion. There's actually two. Yeah, oh, those were the days.
All's well that ends well for our wandering
those
sheep.
Those lions are still out there, by the way.
Oh, that's good.
Beautiful home on the east side.
2:51 here on WTMJ. We wrap up the program with... Wrapping up a Friday edition here of Wisconsin's Midday News by Monday, well, really by Saturday night, late Saturday night, we'll know if the Packers are advancing to the next round of the playoffs. That would mean a trip to Seattle, by the way. And yes, the Packers have had some challenging situations out in Seattle. But nonetheless, Seattle, the number one seed, they would get the seven-seeded Packers after they beat the Bears on Saturday night.
I'm ready for it. I think it's going to feel very much so like the Packers-Bears game. There's going to be a little bit of snow earlier in the day. Maybe a few snowflakes falling by game time. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. 30 degrees at kickoff. That's not too bad for winter in Chicago in the Windy City. Speaking of the Windy City, 17-mile-per-hour winds at kickoff. But Niz was telling us, and this will be key, he was telling us that the gusts could be up to 30 miles per hour.
That's difficult. That is challenging to play, and there is certainly no doubt. Well, the last time the Packers and Bears met in the postseason, it was not snowing. It was not really anything other than cold, very cold, when the game began. It was the NFC Championship game. Yes, the stakes were very high as the Packers looked to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. Here's how it played out that day.
The 182nd meeting of the Packers and Bears carried significance unlike any other. Winner would advance to Super Bowl 45 in Dallas. Under sunny skies and 20-degree temperatures in Chicago, Aaron Rodgers quieted the hostile crowd with an opening drive touchdown against the Bears' fourth-ranked scoring defense.
They fake it to Kuhn, and Rodgers will take it to the edge. Touchdown! And what an impressive start to this game for the Packers.
The lead swelled in the second quarter with an upstart rookie finding the end zone.
On first and goal, they hand to Starks. James Starks. Touchdown! His first in the NFL, and it comes in the NFC Championship game.
Meanwhile, the Bears' first five drives ended in punts. The sixth ended a different way.
Backpedaling as he throws. This is Knox. Downfield, the rookie Shields makes the play. And Sam Shields returns the favor.
Green Bay carried a 14-0 lead into the locker room with plenty of drama on tap for the second half. If it's possible for one play to be considered game-saving for both teams, it happened in the third quarter, with the Packers facing a third and goal from the Chicago 6.
Rodgers, nowhere to go with it until now, and he's picked! Urlacher! Rodgers in a foot race, Urlacher tripped up.
Urlacher's interception thwarted the Packers' hopes of building a 21-0 lead. Rodgers' ability to trip Urlacher up prevented a 14-point swing. But the Bears couldn't capitalize. Not with Jay Cutler, who left the game in the third quarter for reasons I still don't understand.
So Cutler is on the sideline. Chris Myers reporting that it's a knee.
Well, the only thing standing in the way of the Packers in Super Bowl 45 was third-string quarterback Caleb Haney, who, after a fourth-quarter touchdown, came crashing back to earth.
On third down and five, pressure. Pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown. What a moment.
Another Haney interception sealed the Packers' Super Bowl hope.
Haney over the middle, picked off by Shields. And Shields takes it the other way. The Green Bay Packers are going to ride to the Super Bowl on that. Trying to force it to Johnny Knox, and Sam Shields picks it off. His second of the game.
21-14 the final. It was the fifth straight elimination game win for the Packers and second in a five-game stretch over the division rival Bears. A sixth straight win would come 2 weeks later in Dallas.